What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
Hello, everyone. This is Kate. I am joined by...
Mick.
And we just got done with Kansas City Comic Con 2017. We talked to a lot of people. It was a lot of fun. And so over the next few podcasts, we're going to be posting some of the interviews that we got while we were there. We met some really creative people and some really awesome people, some names you might even know. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, so the first one, I actually met Catherine a couple of years ago when I did a story about her business. She just started, at that time, a new business in the Kansas City area. I had a meeting with her about a month ago, and we were talking business, but then we got to talking about some of the things we do on the side, some hobbies, and I had mentioned we do a podcast, and she had mentioned how her and her husband had actually created a comic book, and I was like, wait a second, we need to get you guys on the podcast. So anyway, we were kind of playing, hey, we're going to do it here and there. And then all of a sudden, they were going to be at Kansas City Comic Con. I'm like, well, this will be the perfect time for us to chat about Luna. And so we got a chance to sit down and talk with them about how they got started and just about female superheroes in general and how important it is to not just comic book fans, but to girls and women to have something other than the male superhero comics and stuff that they can read and heroes to look up to.
Yeah, so there you go. Here is our interview with the creators of Luna. Take a listen.
Okay, so tell us... You guys are sitting close to the other, I guess. Okay.
So
tell us, how did Luna come about?
Actually, it was during a staycation where Mel and I stayed home and drank one too many White Russians and started thinking, why aren't there enough superhero girl or girl superheroes who aren't either derivative of male superheroes or, frankly, aren't just TNA? And actually, this was about 5 or 6 years ago before it's kind of more commonplace to have, you know.
This was pre-Hunger Games.
Yeah, pre-Hunger Games. Yeah, okay. Yes, pre-Hunger Games. And we thought, you know, if we had a strong woman comic book hero, what would be, you know, what would be her powers? What would she be reminiscent of? And we thought the moon is a really powerful, mysterious, and feminine sort of entity. So we based our character basically around the mysteries of the moon.
Yeah. And so the entire story kind of grew out of, it's a little autobiographical for Catherine because she's very inspired by her father. And so our character is very inspired by her father, and it was really organic, the entire creation process. We sat there for probably about at least six hours, plotting out what enough story for, I think we probably from that original session have at least 20 issues from that original session.
So we have a really big story, a big story arc, and we're just kind of taking it one issue at a time.
psychologically and with the comic book.
We're up to issue 3, so you know,
in
it's
the
going
comic.
Well. Yeah.
Okay, so you find your hero, but then one of the most other important things is finding that supervillain.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
So
you
want?
Well, in the story, there's actually kind of two supervillains. There's one that's a mysterious one. It's basically kind of like an agency that surrounds the mystery of her father's death. Sorry, I'm kind of spoiler alert on issue 1 there. And then the other villain actually becomes her best friend. So
is
her best friend and becomes her kind of her nemesis, so to speak. Sort of the yin to her yang. Yeah.
It's very yin and yang.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire focus is because they're. Both of their stories are very similar, and I'm not going to give away any more than that, but it's really cool. Like, I can't wait to get to the issues where we start to address this, because that's when it's going to get really fun. Like, we're going to be just as engaged in the storytelling as the reader's going to be in the reading when we get to that point, because that's when the momentum is really going to build with the book. So.
And you're also the illustrator.
I am the illustrator. We met at the Art Institute in Kansas City. literally in the dark room.
In the photo studio dark room, yeah.
That's romantic.
I had a broken foot and a broken heart, and I was just kind of mad at the world. And on top of that, I had a broken little canister. The film reel thing was broken, and I was taking a really long time. And he's on the other side of the closet door, like, is everything okay in there?
Actually making me sound a lot nicer than I was. It was more like, do you need some help? Because you're taking a really long time. So I went in and I fixed her reel, and then we started just joking and giggling.
That was just how we met.
That's how we met. And so I've always wanted to do a comic book. I'm going to talk her up. I've always wanted to do a comic book and just never really had canvas to hang my paint on, if you will, as far as comic book art. I've done pinups, et cetera, et cetera. I never had a story that I wanted to tell. And initially, this story was written just to give me a story to tell or to illustrate. And it's grown into something that is like, it's taken my art to a place that I would have not expected. Because I used to be I still enjoy drawing, you know, the big hulking muscular, all that stuff. But I've become much more of a storyteller artistically. So it used to be the story was in service of the art. Now it's the art's in service of the story. So I make decisions based on what's best for the story, where before I would spend hours on end drawing individual strands of hair because I wanted to do a really kick-ass drawing. Now it's more about telling a kick-ass story.
So what kind of response have you guys had to this strong female comic book character?
Anger? A lot of anger. No, I'm just kidding.
Confusion. Yeah. All right.
A lot of people. Things burning in our front yard. No. I'll stop. Actually, the response has been really solid. We have some bona fide female fans who come back to the conventions.
And male fans. Male fans.
We have male fans, but I'm more interested in that. Guys have enough heroes. But when we get... We actually have a little Hispanic girl who's been to 3 different conventions, and her name is actually Luna, and she comes and buys, her mom comes and buys the issues for her.
So, that is so cool.
Yeah. So it just like, we were like, your name's what?
Yeah.
So we're like, can we record this? Because this isn't real. The response, when people read it, they love it. Oh, great example. My, who she calls my work wife, is a big sister and bought a couple of copies for her little. They read them together, and she said she was like completely hooked and engaged in a way that Anne, my workmate, she said I'd never seen her this engaged in something. And I was like, I'll take that. If I don't ever sell another book, I mean, hearing it have that effect on somebody is worth it. So, so it's pretty cool.
I think another success story on that was, I think it was, probably Planet, actually last year. KCCC last year, where we had a fan come and he bought issue 1, and then we only had issue 1 and 2. And then about 45 minutes, he came back for issue 2.
Wow.
Which was really,
we were like, yes.
We just fist bumped or fist pumped. I don't know. You can't hear that.
You can't hear that through the microphone, but
Okay, so I have to ask, you had the idea, you kind of plotted it all out. Then how'd you know where to go next and make it into?
I've been involved in the Kansas City comic book scene for a long time, and I draw with a bunch of guys who self-publish, and I just started asking them questions. I was like, okay, we've got this idea, we've got this thing. They recommended my printer that I work with, who's Robertson Anderson out of California, and they do a fantastic job. Like, they'll turn around stuff on a dime. They fix my mistakes with my files when I send them to them, so they're awesome.
Good quality paper.
Great quality paper.
Good quality printing.
So they're super. But all of the things that I know have come from the Kansas City comic community, like people who are local who are creating their own comics. And it's just a very inclusive community. So that's how we got to the next step.
Yeah, well, I mean, unless you get this, and in fact, we just did a panel yesterday, with a mad attendance of 2, but you know,
overwhelming response.
But no, it was, and it was exactly that, kind of outlining our process for people who are thinking about maybe, you know, they have an idea for a comic, don't know where to start, how do I get going, and kind of just, you know, how do you take that elephant and cut it up into smaller bites, you know.
Yeah.
And it starts with a good story, and then you write that down, and then you divide that story up into pages, and then you divide those pages into panels, and then you find your thumbnails from that.
She's doing the presentation.
So, you're getting like a 10-second version of it, yeah. and then from those thumbnails, it just, you know, get more polished and more succinct, and that's kind of roughly how it comes together. So, and fortunately for the two of us, we're both visual people, both went to art school together, so it's... in addition to writing it, there's a lot of visual decisions that go into the writing, and you can say I kind of envision this kind of camera angle, so just, for this panel.
It's very much a lot of directing and acting that goes on, and that's what people don't know about comics. Is comics really are they're like little movies if they're done right. And I have to give like a little shout out to my art mentor, who, like, I met him through a mutual friend of ours, and the man's pedigree is out of this world. He's worked on 25 feature films. He was the lead animator on The Iron Giant. He was the head of story on Despicable Me, and he's working on the Playmobil movie right now.
Wow.
And he has his own, like, critically acclaimed comic that has just had a screenwriter attached to it. This is my art mentor, who I talk to daily, who's like, I'll send him a... And it happens so... organically. I just like sent him a piece of art via Facebook, and I got it back about half an hour later with drawn notes on the top of it and 3 pages of written notes about how to make it better. And it's been like that ever since. He's the most giving human being outside of Catherine that I've ever met. And so I get real excited about him, because it's like, I don't know how I stumbled into this, but he's been the catalyst for my evolution as an artist. Like, I'm going directions that I would have never gone without his input. So
cool. Well, how can people find out more about Luna, and how can they buy a comic, follow you?
Yeah, well, Luna Comic on Facebook is our Facebook handle, and then honorthelight.com is our website, and there's links to, well, there's an online shop where you can buy digital versions of the comic book. And then there is, artwork, Mel's artwork's up there too. And
if you want custom art or something like that, you can just contact us through the website. And we're going to have more and more stuff up there. We're really transitioning it from hobby into small business right now, because a lot of the holdup was like a lot of my insecurities and all that around my art, which are going away thanks to a combination of her support and my mentor. So we're really ready to start making this thing break even, and who knows, even make a profit. So.
Yeah.
And you can also get the printed books at Elite Comics and Clint Comics. I think issue one and there's still a few of issue one in print left. Issue two is...
There's a couple
out there still. Mm-hmm. So get them up before they're gone, because we're not reprinting them. And then issue three will be the new one that'll be out in the stores here very soon.
And then once we're done with issue five, we're going to do a trade paperback that collects issue 1 through 5, because that'll complete our first story arc.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank
All
you
right.
guys
Thank
so
you
much.
Guys. All right, there you go. So we had a lot of fun talking to them. I mean, they were you heard it. They were great. And I just love the idea of this great female superhero that they've made up, and they talked about the response that they're getting to it, that they had the one little girl who came back and bought a bunch of the issues, and I just think that's really, really great, because there aren't a lot of really strong superheroes in the comic book world, so it's really neat.
And someone who's original, because remember they kind of mentioned how, well, you have Superman, well then you have Supergirl, you have Batman, uh-huh. you have Batgirl, things like that.
So it was just really neat, and I mean, it was so cool to see Mel there drawing. He was in their booth. He had this whole computer set up to see him drawing, and seeing some of their artwork, I mean, it's beautiful, beautifully drawn and written. So it's just so neat to talk to creative people like that. So anyway,
and we'll have some video and some pictures of their of Mel drawing and stuff on our Facebook page.
Yep. And so that's it. So this was our first Kansas City Comic Con podcast. We have a few more interviews we're going to post throughout the weeks. So just stay tuned to that. Look for pictures. And remember, you can always follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, A Gal and a Gay. We also have a website, agalandagaypodcast.com, so you can find all of our stuff there. We're going to be posting pictures and video from Comic Con there. So, until next time.
All right. Bye, guys.